Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
This week on All of the Above with Norman Lear, Veep star Julia Louis-Dreyfus sits down with Norman and Paul.
Well, you know, there wasn't a script when I was first talking to HBO about it. There wasn't a concept. And my agent had said to me, listen, they're developing this thing at HBO about an unhappy vice president, an unhappy female vice president. And I thought to myself, well, I got to get in on this action because it's gold. And it's so amazing that nobody's done it before.
Listen today on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or on PodcastOne.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to For Crying Out Loud.
Hi.
I'm your host, Lynette Carolla. That's Stephanie.
How are you?
Stephanie? Stephanie's not feeling well.
I have a little cold, so I'm hoping to really leave as many germs on this microphone as I can
for
the next person.
It's great.
I think we're the only ones that use this studio. So I'll just keep giving the cold back to myself.
Yes.
Flex wash.
All right. Let's talk about flex wash and then let's get into our show because we have a great show.
A lot of people have been writing on Facebook and saying, oh, my God, what is the deal with the flex wash? I need one.
Everybody needs one. It's insane. It's this new technology. They have this at Home Depot. They have the Samsung flex wash and dry, flex dry. So it's a washer and dryer pair. And basically it's the first ever to allow you to wash two loads and dry two loads of laundry at the same time.
Yeah, it's like having a laundromat
in the same machine
in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Now you don't have to spend your entire day doing laundry because you can do two loads at once, and it has a wireless thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can alert yourself when you could start it remotely.
Right.
I could be here.
Yes.
And I could be like, you know what?
It connects
to Wi-Fi.
I'm going to
start a little laundry.
Right. And I'll tell you when it's done.
Yeah.
And then you can text to your husband at home and say, hey,
right,
honey, can you put the other? No.
Yeah, like that's,
no, that's not going to work.
That's not going to work.
But
go to Home Depot and check out the Flex Wash.
Awesome. Very cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
We're so excited right now. You have no idea how excited we are. Now, talk about a dream come true.
Okay, first of all, I like to take credit because I discovered, just like I discovered Joe Coy. Now, I was sitting around the warehouse a couple months back,
yeah,
and I said, I have nothing to listen to. I finished a book. I need something to listen to. And I don't listen to the Adam Carolla show.
Tired of the Adam Carolla show.
And so Adam's assistant, Matt Fondelier, the Porcelain Punisher, said to me, have you listened to Sword and Scale? And Ray was sitting next to me. And I said, what? And what? And he said, and then Ray goes, Sword and Scale. You know, Ray's so gruff.
Yeah.
And I said, what is that? And he goes, you'll have nightmares. Just trust me. My wife and I are addicted.
And that's a compliment.
Yes. And that's a
compliment. You'll have nightmares. And you're like, can't wait. Right.
in a good way.
Kind of nightmares.
But Matt is such a sweetheart because he's like, but listen, let me tell you, Lynette, especially somebody, I don't have kids and you do, you better be careful because there's some episodes that are, he says, I just
has he never met a woman?
I know.
We live for that shit.
I know. And then I told Stephanie.
Somebody told me, or I think it was you that told me that when there's this might not be suitable, when there's that warning that goes like, if you have kids, like if you're, don't listen to this one, that's when you're like,
if you
can't
have a weak
wait.
Heart, yeah. Bring it on. So, and then listened to it. I could not wait to tell Stephanie.
Yeah.
And then
you started texting me.
Mm-hmm. I was at the gym when
yeah.
I first started listening to it, and I couldn't get off the treadmill
right.
of life. And
good
yeah.
problem to have.
Yeah. And then so then I told you about it.
I told you
on the air. We talked about it.
Right.
And then.
Then I hadn't listened to it, though.
Right. You were
and
like,
then you kept texting me and you're like, my God, I'm walking my dog and I'm so scared to be walking my dog right now because I've been listening to Sword and Scale. And I'm like, let me try this. I think you had told me about the Craigslist one at that point. You were like, oh, my God, this
it's
one
insane.
Episode has changed my life. It's so crazy. And then I was like, all right, let me check this out.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, in studio right now.
Yeah.
Mike Boudet.
What?
Hello.
The creator of the what if we just spent the entire podcast
talking about
Mike Boudet and how much we love him
and
his podcast.
Just sitting quietly over here.
Soaking it in.
Listen,
before
this is
we
very
talk
exciting,
to
yes.
Mike,
yeah.
Before we talk to Mike, and then we're going to have a whole show with no sponsors.
Chit-chatting.
Yeah. Canvas people.
Oh, gosh.
Mike, did you know that the average person has over 620 pictures in their cell phone?
That's a lot of pictures.
A lot of pictures. And each one probably represents a great moment in time that was meaningfully captured, should be remembered.
Yeah.
Instead, they sit on our phones wasting away.
Yeah. And then they go off into some cloud.
Well, not anymore. CanvasPeople.com has a very easy-to-use photo-to-canvas service. It takes your favorite photo and puts them into beautiful artwork. A lot of people, a lot of our listeners have been using this service and then sending us the pictures.
Mm.
And they're doing some great pictures.
Beautiful pictures.
And by the way, this is just a little secret note to you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if Canvas people would approve of me telling you this.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes if you try to use a picture, it'll say it's too, the resolution's too low.
Right.
You know what? These people are perfectionists.
Yes.
Because some people have gone ahead and done it. Still turned out great.
Uh-huh. I know. I know.
And listen to this. Normally, an 11 by 14 photo canvas is $69.99 plus shipping.
Mm-hmm.
But today, guess how much you're going to pay?
What?
Zero.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Just pay shipping. They're so sure you're going to love their gorgeous canvases, they're willing to give you the first one free. Here's what you're going to want to do. Go to canvaspeople.com, upload your picture. Even if it's Laura's, but you didn't hear it from me.
Mm-hmm.
Select the 11 by 14 size. Enter the promo code FCOL and get that zero price. That's canvaspeople.com, promo code FCOL.
Nice.
Yeah. Mike Boudet.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What the hell is going on? That voice. That voice that I've fallen asleep to, that I've woken up to.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird. It is weird.
Mike, is this a common reaction you get that like somebody tells someone to listen to it and then they go from a casual listener to obsessed in one episode?
It's not the first time I've heard it.
Yeah.
I do get people coming to me all the time saying that they started listening to the show a week ago and they're up to episode 20-something.
And let me tell you.
Which I don't recommend, by the way.
Why?
Because it'll cause severe mental distress.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that myself, so I don't recommend that.
Well, guess what? Too late.
Yeah. I probably listened to all like 80 episodes in a couple weeks.
Yeah. The most I'll tell you what's depressing,
And John
Mike,
used to go like,
to the last
let me guess,
one,
sort of
the
scale.
Last episode. That's when you get depressed. That's when depression strikes.
And that's when you start getting angry and making demands of more content.
Right.
Yep. It's like having another man in your life because truly John would come in. I'd be laying in bed with earbuds, you know, and John would be like, oh, God, Sword and Scale, really? Like if I ever want to find you because you're not taking care of our kids or walking the dog or making a meal.
Well, why do you want to go walk the dog by yourself, huh? Right? You don't want to talk to the kids? You don't want to hear about bats?
Right. Then I'd be like, do you want me to walk the dog? Do you want me to?
Because
I walk in the morning and he walks at night. And so now, for a while I was like, I'll walk the dog.
But not at night.
Well, because I could listen to Sword and Scale.
Yeah.
And carry my mace.
But you know what? Here's the thing, though, that's interesting, that's fun and exciting to think about. So now when you get to that last episode and you get depressed and then you get desperate and you start going back and listening to old episodes, guess what? Now you got Sword and Scale Rewind.
Thank you.
Ding, 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 ding.
Here's the exciting thing. I was telling Mike this the other day. I went and met up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a little Facebook Live-ing.
Yeah. I could have, like, tweeted it or something. I didn't know, you know.
I know. It was a little bit impromptu. I mean, we knew we were going to do it, but then we were just hanging out with Matthew, the guy from the latest and he was like, let's do this. And it was a little unstructured.
Oh, yeah. It was a mess. It was a technical failure.
No, I watched. It looked good.
We couldn't get the comments to come up on the screen,
no,
so we're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. No, I know. It's a pain in the neck.
Yeah. But I was telling Mike that I have this thing with certain shows that basically ask for a discussion, like Black Mirror. And I was saying, whenever I watch Black Mirror, I immediately have to go find a thread on Reddit where people are discussing it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I have to go like
– you have to process.
I just watched this one. What? Like that was crazy, right?
And then
you find other like-minded people that are like, oh my God, I know. And then all the people's theories. That's it. So this podcast naturally lends itself towards like – when I listened to the Tony Ingram one, this is just my personality, I was immediately like, okay, I got to see who's tweeted about this. I got to see who's
what she looks like.
Talked about this. I got to
– yeah.
And then I had to tweet at Myra, who was one of the people who had discussed – and go – now, really, it had been like 2 years before, but I was like – it was new to me.
Right.
I was like, hey, that was a total Munchausen's thing, am I right? And she was – and she
She's
got
like,
right into
been?
It. With, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's what it'll be.
I know. I know. It's really – so, okay. So you got to talk to Mike, but I have questions for Mike. So, Mike, where – how, why, what did you do – how did you decide you wanted to do this type of podcast? What were you doing before? Two-part question. What did you do before it, and then how did it lead it to that?
Well, I had a regular day job. Mm-hmm. I was in marketing. Been in marketing for a long time, many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Does and he have a good voice?
Yeah, I know that voice. It's insane. It's I know. It's crazy.
And, you know, I come from a creative background. I used to be in a band. I used to have a recording studio, done audio engineering and stuff like that. And I used to write my own albums and record and have like three albums out there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But this is like really old, really long time ago.
Was it good?
No, not really.
What kind of music?
It's like electronic, alternative type stuff.
Okay, that's cool. Death metal.
Yeah. No, anyway, so I love the idea of doing something creative because, you know, you get that that reward of that, you know, once you're done with it and it's out there and you put it out there and somebody gets to hear it or see it, you get that little rush, that endorphin rush of – here it is. You know, it's my thing. It's my baby.
Yeah.
And when you're in marketing, you know, wasting your life away in a cubicle, looking at spreadsheets day after day, hour after hour, it's soul draining. It's soul crushing. Mm-hmm. And so I longed for something creative. And I have always been a fan of talk radio.
Me too.
Actually, once I got out of music, I got kind of sick of music and completely bored with it and didn't want to have anything to do with it anymore. And that's when I got really into talk radio and basically consuming it as much as I could. And I knew that I had the ability that to do something in that field. But the traditional thing back then was, you know, you get a job as an intern at a radio station where you work your ass off for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then you maybe get an assistant position that pays you like 20 grand a year or 30 grand a year. And then you're stuck in there for I don't know how many years trying to develop into something where you can maybe have your own show.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Sirius XM comes around and it doesn't matter anymore because terrestrial radio is over.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I wasn't going to go that route. Mm-hmm. And podcasts were just kind of starting to take off, and I gave it a shot.
Adam Carolla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I went through several different ideas before I came up with Sword and Scale and True Crime. Some were better than others. Mm-hmm. Mostly were bad. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until 2014 – late 2013 that the idea came to me because every night I would go to bed watching Forensic Files or the First 48 or Dateline. Yeah. And then I realized everybody I know does the same thing and nobody really talks about it. True crime is such a popular thing that nobody at the time would talk about. Mm-hmm. I was like, why don't I just do a true crime podcast? And I started developing the idea and 2 months later I had a website and the first show ready to go. And it just kind of
– you see, I mean that's the beauty of podcasting because you can take something, an idea or an interest that you like that you're into and hope and pray that there's an audience out there and that you can monetize it. But even just to talk about something for an hour about something and also to do it so well the way you do it, it's – somebody that's creative like that in a cubicle is not going to work. Like the cream rises, you know.
It's talent comes out. It's all because of this little thing. I'm holding up my phone. It's the internet and the mobile phenomenon that took place. That there's no longer that hey kid, I'm going to make you a star kind of mentality. Like you can literally, if you have an idea, you can go straight from the creator to the audience without that middleman.
Right.
Gatekeeper kind of thing.
That's right.
Although,
that? Love it.
Hold on though, because you still have to find an audience. I mean,
yeah.
I always say because I think a lot of kids have this false sense of like, I'm just going to start a YouTube channel and then I'm going to have like a million subscribers and become famous. But, well, you still have to be doing something and then people have to find out about you. So that's probably maybe where your marketing experience came in. Your digital marketing was, weren't you able to somehow figure out how to develop your audience?
Yeah. The big thing is
– tell us how to do it.
The missing part of it is like with most podcasts out there and most sort of creative YouTube channels or whatever, any sort of creative thing, is you have a person that wants to get out there and wants to be heard. But sometimes they have nothing to say and they just want to hear the sound of their own voice or, you know, see themselves on video. It has to be good. That's the very first thing. It has to be really good. And the rest kind of takes care of itself. We grew because of word of mouth.
Yeah.
Literally everyone that heard the first couple of episodes told all of their friends about it. And then those friends told all of their friends about it. And it just grew exponentially from that point forward.
Yeah. That's it. That's all. It's really – you have to be good and tell them – trust that they'll tell friends and tell friends to tell friends. And that's the best way. And also, though, you do it so well. I mean, I'm not just going to blow smoke, but you do it very – seems very well produced. Like I was surprised to find it was just – it's just basically you and an engineer, or is it just
– It's just me. I have an engineer now, but that wasn't the case for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he works remotely. He just does some editing every now and then.
I was shocked. I mean, I thought after a few – listening to a bunch of episodes, I thought – well, and then seeing your website and everything, I thought, well, there's a couple guys behind the scenes here.
Well, I worked a lot of different jobs before that. I was in marketing. I was in – obviously, audio engineering at some
point. Right,
right. Graphic design, web development. So I had like basically the resume for doing this specific exact job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just kind of out of luck, I guess, ended up that it worked out. But it was like my whole life was prepping for this moment, I guess.
Right.
So here's a question that we probably answered the other day, but I think is going to be a very common question, which is how do you decide what, you know, like you start out, you got the Bruce Blackman story, pretty crazy story. How do you go like, what's my next episode? Because your next episode was pretty different. That was the psychopath, James Fallon. It was a more intellectual episode. Although you had the Ted Bundy interview in there, but how do you go? I mean, what you know, you're going to be working on that story for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take your time and attention. So, how do you? What interests you about a story? What makes you go like, okay, this is worthy of the Sword and Scale treatment?
It's tough to say. I mean, it has to grasp me somehow. It has to affect me somehow, or interest me, or create some sort of emotional reaction. I get a lot of different things coming at me from different places. I have, you know, several different things set up online, groups and Reddits and whatever that that are just constantly feeding new stories to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about seeing that one headline or that one, you know, detail that stands out and makes you think or makes you feel. And once I know it's done that to me and I start to desperately dig deeper into it, I know that somebody else is going to be interested.
I agree. Yeah, no, I was thinking about it. It's interesting. I was just thinking just now, I wonder if your show would be so popular if there was – I think the one thing that I like about the show is your voice. You sound like a dude, which you – I mean, yeah, obviously. But like you sound like a young dude that wouldn't really – care, not necessarily care, but really be interested in the young girl that was kidnapped and like talk about it with such sympathy and empathy and when you're interviewing and also the way you put it together. But I just like it doesn't – you would – I would think that us as a – like what I'm saying is a female behind the microphone talking, I'm wondering if that does generate a lot more interest because it's a dude, it's a guy, and the chicks – not necessarily like, you know, that you're a rock star, but like maybe the women are very attracted to that show because of the voice and because of the sympathy and how you talk about and tell the story about, you know, a kidnapping or a molestation or whatever.
I have been told I have a sexy voice, if that's what
you're saying. It is this, but it's true. It's not just the it's not the sexy. It's the guy. It's telling the story from a guy. Mm-hmm. Like most times women are telling. I would think like Dateline has a strong female audience, obviously.
Keith Morrison.
Yeah. And so like I know a lot of women that watch Dateline, but a lot of men watch it because their wife is watching it. Mm-hmm. I don't know like dudes going, I can't wait to watch it. Did you see Dateline the other night? But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so I don't know.
I think part of it, I'll tell you what I think is part of it is that when you hear a male voice, sometimes it has – less emotion about it. You know he cares.
Right.
It's more of a reporting as opposed to like a Nancy Grace who's laying all her, who's like bleeding all over the story and going like, I'm so mad.
Yes.
And sometimes women, we just want to form our own opinions.
Right.
So we just want to hear the story.
Right.
Like we know we're horrified and you're doing that behind the scenes. You're creating the experience to feel an emotion. Like, for instance, I'll give you a for instance with the baby in the microwave.
Well,
you know that that's going to create an emotion, but you're not during the whole thing going, oh my God, can you believe it? Isn't this so long?
Right.
I mean, it's still going. You guys, this is crazy.
Right.
I think that would ruin it. See,
girl would probably do that.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I can't even take it anymore.
No, like
I'm
Nancy
gonna,
Grace.
I have to stop.
Nancy Grace. If somebody put my daughter into them, I'll tell you what. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I approach it from the standpoint of like just a regular Joe, like a regular
journalist.
Yeah. So I don't have a journalism background. I don't have a radio background at all. So I don't have a crime background. I wasn't a former prosecutor or attorney or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a guy and I'm reading you a story. I'm telling you a story in a way that will connect with you as just a person, you know, not necessarily an expert or, you know, and I think that connects with people because you're hearing it from just a regular person, but it's being told in a way that elicits emotion. You know, it's a different perspective than a lot of things out there. I'm not making jokes about murder. I'm not doing things like that. Occasionally, there's a little levity, but it's just it's like the true crime show for everybody else that isn't like an expert or like, because there's a lot of people that are so immersed in this, like they've read every Ann Rule book,
right?
They know all about every serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't for you. Mm-hmm. This is not, you know. Let's delve into the details of this serial killer.
Right.
This is more like look around us and look at all the horrible things that occur every day and then start to question whether some of those traits are in yourself or whether they're in people around you, close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scary part. That's the part that grips you because monsters are everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Remember you said you were going to kill me because you're going to murder me and then hope that he does a story on it for introducing you to it.
So after you turned me on to it, then I got obsessed immediately and started tweeting about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you and I started talking back and forth. And then Matt, you forwarded me an email from Matt Fondelier, who's a big fan of yours, who laid out all the episodes that she should listen to and which ones to not listen to. So naturally, I listened to those.
Me too. The first one. The first one
He was like, listen, you have kids. So you're not going to want to listen to episode 20 or episode something else. And I was like immediately like scroll through the feed.
Looking
like,
for it. I know.
Okay, what's this one all about?
I know.
We did an episode 84 recently, which is about the dark web, the dark net. And that one, everybody that listened to it went on Twitter and just started yelling, don't listen to this. It's horrible. And of course, it's our most downloaded episode.
See? People are twisted.
See, the funny thing is I listened to that episode, but I fast forwarded through the part that was just that said we're about to describe, and I was like, okay, I don't need to hear that. And so now I constantly hear people going, oh my God, the dark web one is the only one that I can't. I think I'll never get over it. And I'm like, I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I know.
But then I have to remember, I fast-forwarded through the whole
I did the
horrible.
Same thing. I did the same thing, but I got desperate a couple of weeks later.
You want me to tell you about it?
Yeah. Can you just you recreate it?
Yes.
And I went back and listened. You know, because I tried to think, because I was reading online about that particular YouTube video that the guy on the on your episode was describing, and there's controversy whether that YouTube video is real, whether if it's real or not,
right,
of what happened. And so I try to think, oh, it's probably not real, so I'll just listen to it.
Yeah, the thing about that is you can't really verify it because it's a crime to verify it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you
can't download certain links.
For those that don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, but we don't want to – here's something to know about our audience is it is mostly moms. Mm. And we do have moms listening to our show that are like, please don't
graphically describe anything.
No, but just generally it's about a man named Peter Scully who was arrested and he's now in jail. But it's about a venture that he created on the dark web where they would bring in local children from Indonesia and do horrible things on video.
Right. But one thing, though, that you discussed on that episode is that even if you click on a link, you could be marked.
Yeah, just clicking on a link could be a crime.
Could be a crime. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And, I downloaded – and that's another thing about your podcast is after you interview somebody or you talk about their – mostly somebody that you interview and they've written a book, usually I'll go look the book up. That – I downloaded the guy that wrote about the Silk Web or the guy that it's called
The Silk Road.
The Silk Road, yeah. The guy that developed it.
Yeah, that's a fascinating story.
Very fascinating.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
He's just a dude.
So the Silk Road is a marketplace that was created on the dark web for selling just like an eBay. But the thing is because it's on the dark web, you could sell whatever. So you could sell handguns. You could sell hardcore drugs.
Yeah. Right.
All sorts of things. And this guy, Dread Pirate Roberts is the name he went by, created this site, this thing on the dark web, and it ran for several years. It was a pretty fascinating story because it became so easy to buy drugs. You took the danger out of the whole – like if you're a drug user, for example, you don't have to go to a dark alley and deal with shady people to buy your drugs.
Right.
You just go on there, buy it with some Bitcoin and it shows up in your mailbox.
Right.
So it kind of did this sort of weird public service to something that really wasn't going to go away anyway. But it also had a lot of dangerous aspects to it. It gives people who are maybe curious about drugs a very easy way to access them or handguns or whatever else it might be. And this guy was finally caught.
Or a kidney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know about kidneys.
And the guy – so the guy was caught.
The guy was caught and the sentence was like they made an example out of him. Mm-hmm. I think he's spending the rest of his life in prison.
Oh, now you ruined the book for me.
Yeah.
No, I know. This kid was just a kid. Like, he just developed a website.
And a smart kid too.
He was a very smart kid. He was a libertarian. He was very into the libertarian theory, the libertarian and he just – he was always like, who cares? It's not the government's – who's to say the government's what to put in your body or whatever.
Right.
And he always had that mantra and then he just was like – and he felt like he was an outsider because all of his other guys, all his other friends were off going to college, getting college degrees and becoming all these successful people. And he just wasn't interested in any of it and then just decided like, I'm going to try this, and
the whole internet is based. It's basically a big libertarian experiment,
right?
It's just become much more corporate over the years, and companies figured out that they can make a lot of money off of it,
right?
But it started out as a big libertarian experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting book.
So tell us more. Let's get more crimey. But also, I think a lot of people want to talk about what. Okay, so let's just attack some of the rumors here. Some people. Mm. Well, first of all, you've gotten a lot of hate on the internet,
and so?
I know you hate that. I know you hate that. Lynette and I discuss a lot about how fucking ridiculous people are on the internet, and how
always gonna hate. Anytime anybody's successful at anything, they always got to – words can't bring me down. I was just listening to that song Howard Stern was talking about. Yeah. I mean anytime somebody has something successful that they started, everybody's got to go online and start these rumors and start these – take shit out of context and stuff like that. Yeah.
And one thing Lynette and I that annoys us a lot is when people think that they can determine that they should be in charge of how much money you make. Like, right? When people – we were talking about the fact that people are like, that's too much money.
Oh, yeah.
When people – when you go private on Patreon, mm-hmm. and then people are like, well, first of all, you're not paying any more than anybody else. Like, you're not saying like, okay, you have to pay $500 right. to listen to my podcast now. You're going, if you pay $5 and you can listen to extra content, mm-hmm. your regular content's still free. But then you get these people that are like, you know what? He's making too much money for just taking audio off of YouTube or whatever. And then what I've said to you is like, well, here's the thing. People want to listen to it. So if are you thinking of a story that you want to hear and then researching it,
right.
then go pull your own shit off YouTube right. and don't pay him $5 if you don't want extra.
Right.
Why does anybody think that they can dictate how mm-hmm. much money
mm-hmm.
somebody else should make? And I want to say again the thing about like it's – you don't go to a bank and go, how much money are you making?
Right.
Why don't you tell me before I make a withdrawal
right.
from my bank, I want to know how much money you're making.
Right.
$25 an hour? I'm sorry. That's too much. Right. What are you doing? Just processing my checks? No.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be making
– I know. She's talking about how – you're talking about how when – because you had up there on Patreon what the – what was it?
Yeah, it was public. You were public with what you make a month. And then mm-hmm. a lot of people these days have gone private.
And then you took it down.
Which makes sense.
And now
tons of people are private they don't need to know.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny because the ones that complain about things like that are the 99% of our audience that doesn't contribute anything, that just
right.
listens for free every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the show has been free the whole time and continues to be free, whether you donate or not. If you donate, you help with the production of the show. You get extra content. You get perks like discounts in the store and stuff like that. But, you know, it's voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to donate anything. You
right.
can just listen to the show or not listen to the show.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know how people got so entitled as to feel that podcasting, you know, because it is free,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
that it should just be free.
Right.
I mean, here's the thing. We're all doing this. Like when Lynette and I went to 2 shows a week.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it would be a good way to get the show even more popular.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that we were like, wow, we've been giving people 1 show a week. They deserve 2 a week.
Right.
You know, they've been getting 1 a week. They're probably mad. That's not enough content for them. Like we barely were getting any money.
Right.
So, I mean, people must have some false sense of like that advertising pays you just – you're just getting so
mm-hmm.
rich off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, especially for podcasters that don't have a ton of downloads, say – It's your own business.
Right.
You're providing content. You're doing a job.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, how dare you ask for money to
mm-hmm.
do your job?
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is a business. That's the thing that, you know, people don't understand. They think that, you know, a lot of hobbyists get into podcasting and they do it for fun. They do it
right.
to hear their own voice.
Mm-hmm.
This was from the very beginning, it was intended to be a business. And people forget that for the first 2.5 years, I didn't make a penny off of the show. There were no ads. There was no Patreon. It was completely free. And for a lot of that time, there's a good portion of that time where I was doing the show weekly while working a regular job and watching my entire life fall apart around the same
wow,
time.
Wow,
really?
So wait, what?
Yeah.
How many episodes would you say was that?
It was the first – basically the first 2 seasons,
okay.
which was – oof. I can't remember how far it went.
How many episodes are in a season?
It varies. Nowadays, it's about 26,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
24 to 26, depending, because it's every 2 weeks.
Right. And then you take a break.
We take a break,
you
but usually we
hiatus.
Try to space it out
mm-hmm.
So that there's not a big
right.
lag.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you were married.
Yeah.
And you were having a full-time job and trying to make this happen.
Yeah.
And it affected your relationship.
Suffice it to say, I'm not married anymore. But I don't blame the podcast for that. There were other issues, but obviously it didn't help that I was spending all of my time working
mm-hmm.
on the show and working in real life and then doing
but
all the other things that everybody
does. I understand that, Mike,
right.
because weren't you just ripping off some audio from YouTube?
That's all
and,
I was doing,
and
yeah.
putting it up.
Takes
up
10 minutes.
I would like to know how it takes 10 minutes. I would like to know.
Yeah, I can't believe you're complaining about
know,
like
right?
a 10 something that takes 5 minutes.
Yeah, first of all, nobody wants to hear me complain. I have no right to complain because I get to do what I want to
yeah.
do for a living. So,
what is – tell us –
right.
talk to us about the process of how you do an episode. Like,
yeah, tell us how you just rip stuff off of
– Yeah, how do you?
I'm sorry. I just find that to be
it's
so ridiculous. that people think. Like,
if you're the guy that's complaining that I make too much money and all I do is rip stuff off the internet, then why don't you go ahead and do it?
That's what she said.
Right? I literally said that on her show.
Fucking do it.
Just do it.
Then why are you listening to Sword and Scale then? Right. Complaining right. about why? It. Why don't you just think of a case that you want to hear about right. and go look up why some 911 calls?
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
listen to his version that's edited together and in a complete well-thought-out storytelling way.
Yeah. Your mom you're going to be in the basement for a couple hours.
My other thing that bothers me is when people go like, I didn't even get this episode. It was all audio, which is like, yeah, that's exactly what I loved about
it. You read too much comments because I don't even see any of that. I enjoy it and soak it in, and I don't give a shit what anybody says.
But Mike and I are on the same page with this. He likes to he gets upset about this. I think I've been the target of people complaining about me online as well.
I'm sure I'm the target too, but I wouldn't know.
It's funny how much the people that troll you and the people that troll me sound exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like they go for the same sort of points.
So, okay. So can you talk about what is that process? Like how do you put together an episode?
Yeah. I stumble across a story that sounds interesting. And then I go deep. I take a deep dive into it. I look for local news sources because those are the ones that are going to have the actual story and the actual reporting. And then I, read everything I possibly can about it. I find every news clipping, news video clipping that I can find, and I watch everything. I put it all into Pro Tools, and then I start to think about how the story should naturally be told, like what needs to be reinforced. What is it that makes it interesting? What is it that will grasp listeners and keep their attention and maybe some overarching point that I can make out of the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
And once I've consumed all the information, it's all swimming in my head, that kind of comes to me of how to put it all together and how to make it make sense within a story.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of editing after that.
Then there's a lot of editing.
But sometimes what I like about it is the lack of editing sometimes, which is when you do let just play for a really long time like a police interrogation. And what I love about that is – maybe what other people get mad about, but it's that you're not going to – that your podcast is the only place where you actually how do I put this? You give people the benefit of that they're smart enough to think that they would enjoy something that really takes its time. And whereas I think that like a 48 Hours, which I also love, and a Dateline, they just go, oh, your attention span's too short. So I'm going to give you 15 seconds of this, and I'm going to give
you a
quick interview here. And that to me is not better.
Yeah.
It's different, and it's more, I get the whole story, and then I get a lot of different voices. You're like – I think you might be interested in hearing the entire police.
See,
and I'm like, yes, I am. Yeah. Thank you.
I get frustrated so many times with like some of these local news stations that have really crappy editing because there's like some witness being interviewed or something and they'll just take like three words that they said and then interject their narrative and then another three words and it's completely out of context. But we live in this world where context doesn't matter, where if you say the wrong word, you can lose everything, your job and your family.
Women aren't funny. Yes.
And context is the most important thing. So when you get to hear an entire interrogation or a lot of the court testimony, can't be all of it because some of these cases are 40 hours long.
Right.
But you get the bigger perspective, the bigger sort of picture of what actually happened rather than the 30-second news clip.
Yes.
It's important.
Well, that's the thing too.
Let it breathe.
People mistakenly go like, oh, well, he basically played the whole thing. It's like, no. If you've ever been on a jury, which I have – obviously, you didn't play it all.
No.
Right.
You're listening to a 45 minute – if it's a two-parter, let's just say, you're listening to an hour and a half.
That's the other thing I have actually
watched. Obviously, you didn't let it all play.
Yeah.
I've watched the entire trial.
Right.
So the 40 hours that it took to watch all of that, I did that behind the scenes. So I know it's only a one-hour show and all I'm doing is piecing clips together, right?
Right.
But
takes you 5 minutes.
Yeah, just 5 minutes. But I did watch the entire thing so that I can properly tell the story.
Right.
Like the Craigslist one.
Yes.
Masterful.
massive.
Lynette, that's what.
Before we get to the Craigslist one, one thing that to speak to what you're saying, Stephanie, is that how you let it, you leave it up to the listener to let the story play out in their head. Mm-hmm. And one of the episodes was your episode, the Tony Ingram one, because it's the
Love
which
it.
Episode? It's like
episode 14,
four,
13 and 14, I think.
It's early on. And it's – I think it
– Or 11 and 12.
11 and 12.
Yeah. 11 and 12.
So for me though, it was like episode 3 that I listened to. And when it started, it just went right into Tony – I believe it went right into the mom talking to the host of the show, right, mm-hmm. and about her daughter. And, yeah. and he just let it play. And I thought – I was like, did I miss the beginning? You just went right into it. And you didn't say, this mom is crazy or anything like that. You just let
right.
it go.
Yeah.
And you let it go so long because I'm like listening to it and I'm thinking – this woman lost her daughter and that's how she's talking? Like she's talking like it's like she's giggling and laughing and
Right,
you know,
which is what we've
talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like – which I love. That's – to me, that's genius because that's how you just go right into the show.
Well, it's the unreliable narrator, which is what's so
– Right.
So interesting is that you're like, wait a minute. I'm being told one thing and this woman is clearly on what sounds like a professional show.
Mm-hmm.
But something's amiss.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And you're like, what's going on with her story?
Yeah.
Because why is she sounding like this? And you don't know for a long time.
Right.
You know, it is about assuming that your audience is smart enough to understand the point you're trying to make without making the point hitting them over the head with it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And usually that's the case. But, you know, there will be an occasional troll that will come out and say, why are you playing the whole thing? You're not smart enough to listen to this show, sir.
Right.
Go away.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the Craigslist. I was telling Adam about it last night, how great you did. How did you – is it video that you found or is it audio of the two of them getting
– It's audio.
It's audio.
Yeah.
And the way
right,
you
so
did it –
so for anybody that missed our last 5 episodes of For Crying Out Loud, which all we talk about is that, the Craigslist killer was the good-looking dude – I mean, I don't know how good looking, but kind of a preppy. He did not look like a killer. He didn't have a big mustache and crazy glasses.
Yeah, he was a medical school.
Clean cut kid.
Yeah, was going, but he got caught on a camera, a security camera of hotels where he was basically killing hookers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people that were advertising their services, their sensual massage services.
Right.
And first he was just robbing them. But then he escalated to killing them and he lived with his fiance. And in the episode, we have a lot of police interrogation of the fiance.
Mm-hmm.
At first, right. It's her first. Which, by the way, I didn't go to that episode right away because I was just like, yeah, Craigslist murder. I kind of know this. Whatever. But then, of course, eventually I got to it and I was like, holy fuck, I was traveling in San Francisco and I just had to stop everything what I was doing. Cab driver's talking to me. I'm ignoring him. But like, yeah, so you went straight to her interrogation. She has no clue who – she's the fiance and she's just like, so should I be worried or what – you know, and they're asking her, do you have internet at your house? Is there any reason why you would walk through the Marriott? And they go like back and forth, like back and forth. The cops are in, like they're Boston. It's just so
And then
good.
They're like, who does this guy look like? They're showing her the guy.
Right.
And she's like, I mean, I guess. Like,
those aren't his shoes.
Yeah. She goes,
he wears New Balance.
That looks a little heavier.
He looks heavier.
And they're like, well, could it be that he's wearing like a big coat?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it really speaks to the nature of denial and
in
human relationships and how you could be with someone and not know their true nature at all.
But one part that I loved is that you in the middle of her interrogation, you said right here is where she's
cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so. You're not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, so how did you know that that's what was going on? How did you know that that's – or you just know that?
I think that's from college.
Okay.
some of these things just get stored away for later and then, you know, they pop up.
Because you usually don't – put your two cents in that much. Not that. I mean, I guess you yeah, – I don't know.
What did we really love? There was something he said that we really liked. Oh, the guy
– listen, if you're going
to – if you're going to murder
do a murder-suicide, do the suicide first.
Yeah. Right.
Love that.
Yeah. I stand by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every once in a while, you just put in a little, like, funny, like, mm-hmm. dry mm-hmm. opinion about it.
Somebody took a bunch of those quotes and made memes with funny pictures.
Oh, that's nice.
Put them up on Instagram. Pretty good.
So here's the thing that people want to know. You get this, like, people that don't like you on the internet, but it really bothers you. And I want to help you.
Why can't everyone just love me?
I know. It really bothers him. And I thought you and I, because – same thing. Whenever I mention anything about, like, somebody was, like, really going off on me, Lynette's like, who cares?
Yes.
Why do you care?
Who cares?
But I tried to tell him that the other day.
You tell him who cares?
Yeah. But I think that you need to think about the fact that – because you haven't been in this situation before. Lynette Adam has been in this business for a long time. So mm-hmm. she lives with somebody who's been – had this for years.
Mm-hmm.
You got – you know, kind of famous kind of quickly, mm-hmm. but you don't realize how many people are big fans. And people that love stuff are not the people that are the most vocal.
Right.
They're
right.
not the people going, oh my God, I love you so much. I need to go constantly email you and tell you how great your show is. They just listen to your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have
it's a very small percentage of those people.
They're just the most vocal because they love to be angry.
Yeah. It's almost like, for me, it's more about, just being disappointed by the human race sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I get upset just about –
it's not bad enough that people are murdering people.
Oh, yeah. But even –
you're like,
even,
then they have to talk shit about me on the internet
monsters.
Too.
Monsters everywhere.
I mean, even now – I mean, just like everything is so politicized. We live in this crazy politicized culture right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely polarized in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And – it's upsetting whenever I see not just – I mean, it's not just about people not liking me. It's more like this tribal mentality that we all seem mm-hmm. to have where it's mm-hmm. like my team is better than yours. My side is better than yours. My idea is better mm-hmm. than yours. My religion, my plot of land, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like people come up with even more segments. Like my podcast is better than yours
mm-hmm.
now. You know, like the – not even my podcast. The one I listen to over here is better than this other one
right,
I listen to.
Right, right.
And they get angry about it and become political about it. And some people have actually gotten very nasty with me because I don't use the show as a political vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I just – it's a storytelling vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It tells stories and it lets you decide for yourself what you think of the world.
Right.
Although sometimes you do make fun of Florida in the
well,
best
Florida
way.
Well, Florida sucks. Let's
that's all.
It.
It's a sad – yes.
Florida and Walmart. A lot of bad mm-hmm. shit goes down in both those places.
Well, you know, Adam plays the game Germany or Florida. Do you know that? Have you heard of that?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. His news girl will give him a news story and he has to figure out if it came out of Germany or Florida.
Oh, that's great. That's brilliant.
Yeah. But so I felt bad that episode when you said another story out of Florida where I live.
I guess I
what
get to say that because I live there. So.
Yeah, you get to say that. Yeah. Yeah.
What,
yeah.
I mean, what do you think it is? About Florida.
The heat, maybe? I don't know. Mm. I think there's because it's not just – I mean it's not just South Florida, so it's not just the Hispanics because I'm Hispanic as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on in Central Florida and Northern Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where all the weirdos come in and set up camp from North.
Yeah.
From North South.
Yeah. So wait, so okay.
Boudet
so,
sounds French.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Hispanic.
Eight generations ago. There was a – French man that moved to Haiti, married a Haitian woman, then moved to Cuba. And then my parents came here in the 60s and I was born here in the United States.
Oh, they came here from Cuba?
Yes.
Cuba?
Cuba.
That's right.
Cuba.
So, okay.
Say
so,
hello to my little friend.
all right. What else?
Do you want to ask him another? A lot of people have questions.
Yeah, we should maybe.
How hard is it to find Gurdjieff? Girl, get strong.
Girl gets strong.
Wants
Facebook.
To know how hard is it to find all your information and 911 calls and interviews.
It's just time consuming. Sometimes it's easier than other times. You really want to go to like local news sources because they have the best clips, the best court clips, or the best interview interrogation clips and that kind of stuff. It's hard to find those on the larger news
mm-hmm.
networks.
Mm-hmm.
Like how did you find the – I'm sorry I'm so obsessed with this one, but the Tony Ingram one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Did you find it because you had already heard like this crazy woman who went on Dr. Phil and – or – and then you went back and you're like, oh, here's how it started
when she went on this – That one was interesting because I – that was one of the first stories I ever researched.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I think it was probably the first one that I ever got into. When I was trying to come up with a podcast in October of 2013 – and I started looking around. One of the things – there was no other true crime podcast, by the way. There was two other podcasts out there. There was Dan Zupansky's True Murder and Trisha Griffith's True Crime Radio. Trisha Griffith is the lady that appears in that episode that's interviewing Tony Ingram.
Right.
So I had heard that and I had reached out to her and you know we had started to talk and I convinced her to come on the show and we started to work on it. But that was episode 11 – and so it took that long. It took from October to 11 episodes into the season for that story to finally develop and for, you know, all the interviews to take place. And I tried to reach out to Tony directly during that entire time. And I think the first time I emailed her, she said, oh, I'm traveling. I was like, you don't have a cell phone when you travel?
Right.
And then I think she did some research. And back then there was really no research to do. The show was brand new. There was nothing out there.
Right.
And she got back to me and asked me to send her a list of questions that I would ask her. And then I thought, wow, that's interesting. You know? And then after that, I said something. I don't know what I said to her, but I think that I tried to get her to respond. She didn't respond after that. She just didn't – I guess she got a bad vibe that something was off, that maybe she was going to portray
it a certain way. I think she always got bad
way.
Vibes from people.
And unfortunately, she did not come on. I tried to reach out to some of her friends, some of Morgan's friends, and nobody wanted to do it. There was also the girlfriend of the kid that she accused of stalking.
Right, yeah.
Who – I sent her a Facebook request way back then, a message, and I heard back from her a few months ago.
Oh.
I guess, you know, your messages go to that other box and if you don't
– Yeah. Oh, I check that religiously.
Yeah.
Maybe you should pass her on to us.
She didn't
– She wanted – Skill Rewind.
She wanted nothing to do with me.
Oh, she sure did.
She
That's
basically
why she responded
just,
to you.
She just basically told me to leave her alone. And so I just respected her.
Oh, no. She wants
wishes.
It.
What a, She wants it. We know. Well, let me ask you. Wait. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to point out one thing that I find really funny is I don't know. It has to be a choice. But whenever you're interviewing someone and get them on the phone, I remember I said this to you. You always include – you never edit it. You always go like, hey
man.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, David.
Oh, good. It's going pretty good. What's going on? Are you ready to do this interview? Yeah. Oh, let me just spit my gum out. Okay. All right. Anyway, so you always include it. It just – I don't know why. It just
makes
me laugh.
Yeah. You know what else makes me laugh is that you – is it you or is it the audio that beeps out the bad words?
I did that for the first two seasons and then I stopped doing it.
Ah, okay.
And it was almost – that was almost like a hidden political statement as well. It was about how – Our society really is fine with the most horrific violence in the world, but you know, saying the wrong word is just criminal.
Right. Mike, do you have a favorite episode?
I think episode 20 is my favorite because – and that's the episode about Ronald William Brown, the puppeteer ventriloquist guy from
the
Christian
– That's the eating babies episode.
Yeah. He basically spends all his free time on Yahoo Chat. Talking about abducting, raping, dismembering children.
But it's his fantasy.
Cooking
it's
and
his
eating
fantasy.
Children
it's
as well.
It's his fantasy, right.
But he does it all. You play it all with all the Yahoo chats in a funny computer
in the computerized
voice.
Voices.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to cook your baby and eat it. Oh, yum.
Who did
Babies
that?
Babies are delicious.
Yeah, that's why it's my favorite because nobody had ever tried to do something like that, you know, before. It was taking all these transcripts of this chat and using some vehicle to make it, to tell that story, to read those, but then using these computerized voices that are soulless, that right. there's no emotion whatsoever, and they're talking about the most horrible things you can imagine, gives
smart.
It this really creepy vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I wasn't sure how it would go over. I wasn't sure if people would think it's hilarious and start laughing, or they would get completely creeped out
mm-hmm.
by it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I wasn't even sure if what I was doing was legal.
Ah,
there's
was
like,
it?
I assume. I mean, we have this little thing called the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it's, you know, you're talking about this really horrible violence towards children.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it could maybe be construed as child porn in
mm-hmm.
a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of worried that somebody may –
think you're sensationalizing it?
You know, I don't know. Well, I just thought there may be some legal ramification to telling the story mm-hmm. at the time. And I wasn't sure because I was so green, so mm-hmm. brand new to mm-hmm. this whole thing.
Maybe some people might get titillated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I was kind of worried about too.
Mm-hmm. Do you get creepy messages by like fans that are, you know, kind of creep you out or like – that are very intense and want to meet you and where when's your next meetup or
yeah.
chicks that are like, you know, want to flash you or something? I don't know.
No. Everybody's very well behaved. I have gotten some interesting messages from ladies online.
I knew it.
But no, it's mostly just, you know, it's just talking.
Yeah.
It's online.
Yeah, yeah. Just mostly computerized.
So Mike has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
All right.
She's really pretty.
She's wonderful.
Where'd you guys meet?
We met at a meetup in Florida.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was a fan.
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
Interesting.
Although she thought I was a jerk at first.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Because of all the online comments.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
See, yeah, it turned out.
See what happens when you read too much online?
I mean, that is the thing.
Should we take – Another Facebook question?
Well, so your favorite was episode 20. What episode disturbed you the most?
That's one of my, yeah.
I think I know the answer.
Hmm. Which episode disturbed me the most? Jessica Ridgway.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's episode 4.
Yeah. Just listen to it this weekend.
It's got two 911 calls. One from the mother of Jessica who wakes up and realizes that her daughter's missing, that she never showed up home from school.
Mm.
And then it's got a call from the mother of Austin Sigg, I believe is his
mm-hmm.
name,
yeah.
who was this kid that lived down the block that had abducted her and raped her.
He was
and
only
her.
17 at the time.
And that call is so gut-wrenching because you can hear it in the mom's voice. She's realizing that her son is the killer of this little girl she's been seeing on TV all week.
Mm-hmm.
And – It's like a gut punch when you hear that.
I agree. When she's – I hear the aggravation. I don't want to talk about it too much because we're going to talk about it.
Because that's what we're going to do.
We're going to talk about it in our Sword and Steel
tomorrow.
Rewind.
We're recording that one.
Yeah. But she just –
And I think about my mom when I hear that and I
mm-hmm.
go, oh.
Could you imagine? I mean,
yeah.
Unbelievable. There's a lot – there's a lot of like upsetting ones I could imagine. There's the 911 where the woman is kidnapped and she's trying to fucking call the operator and, you know, and
there's the one 911 call, which was also very hard to listen to. It was recently, I think it was 89 where – no, not 89. What am I thinking? 79? I can't remember. But it was this woman who was going through a divorce with her husband. Her husband was sleeping in the basement. And she decides she's going to kill the kids. She goes upstairs.
Oh, that's the worst one.
Yeah.
We can't be too graphic.
Yeah.
No,
I know what
she,
you're talking about. People
yeah.
people hate that episode.
But then the mother-in-law
yeah.
shows up and
that's
finds
the worst.
Her. She's tried to stab herself as well
mm-hmm.
and to kill herself, but she
mm-hmm.
actually made it.
Mm-hmm.
But the mother-in-law shows up and she finds the kids and she's
mm-hmm.
on the 911 call
mm-hmm.
when she finds the kids. And
right.
it's so insanely horrible.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
worst – that I immediately started crying was when you had on the girl who's calling because her dad is beating up her mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, spoiler alert, but I'm sobbing listening to it going, I can't listen anymore, but I guess I gotta find out what happens. And the mom gets out of the house with
mm-hmm.
the kids
mm-hmm.
and runs over. The dad is trying to get into the car to – and
mm-hmm.
she runs him over
mm-hmm.
and he dies. Thank God.
I know.
But the little girl screaming and crying, and her dad's drunk, and the woman's going, has he been drinking? Yes, he's drunk, and he does this a lot. He's trying to hurt my mom.
No, that's the thing that is he's crying in my car.
He
doesn't really do that, I think. If I remember, it's not a normal thing in their household where he gets drunk and beats on her.
No, it was.
It was a normal thing? I thought that they were
– No, he'd done it before, but she says never this bad.
Never this bad.
But, yeah, he did get – he was hurt. He's hurting my mom, and she's – yeah.
And I'm a weirdo in this kind of stuff. I actually, like, look up and Google Maps the home address and picture what actually happened and stuff like that. And it's just this beautiful upper middle class home, mm-hmm. you know, surrounded by trees on a big plot of land. Mm-hmm. And you're like, these people have everything in the world.
Why? I know.
How does this happen?
Yeah.
That's another thing that podcasts like this do is it's kind of almost the great equalizer. It's, you know, whenever you're thinking like, oh, I don't have a great life or, you know, comparing yourself to other people. And then you go, everybody has their own stuff going on.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Everybody's got their demons.
Yeah.
Before we wrap this puppy, what were you going to say? Oh, we wanted to tell people once again.
Yes.
About Home Depot's
Flex Wash. Yeah.
Fabulous new
because
2-in-1.
It makes your life easy. This 2-in-1 Samsung Flex Wash, Flex Dry, washer and dryer pair. It also – we talked about how you can do two loads at the same time, but and also it connects to Wi-Fi. But it also has the – it offers a steam wash option to remove stains and self-clean the washer so it doesn't have that odor, which happens to us all the time. You don't have to sort, you know, you can mix the colors and the fabrics and it's fine, everything. It's great. It's a, they have a multi-steam thing that gets rid of the wrinkles. It's got everything. So
go to Home Depot
and check out the Flex Wash and Flex Dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? We do a little thing here called Patreon where we ask you if you want.
Mike, you should get on Patreon.
If you want to, you could pay as little as $5 a month, and Lynette and I will do an extra episode every week. If you just can't get enough, if you're like, I heard 2 full episodes this week, but damn, if I don't want to hear Lynette and Stephanie, just, I don't know.
I'm a supporter.
Yeah, you sure are a supporter. Thank you. $100 a month. Thank you so much.
And we give you lots of shout outs in case you didn't know. not like you need it, but.
But if you want that, you know, go to patreon.com and put in for Crying Out Loud. We're showcased this month for Mother's Day.
That's right.
If you don't want to, that's fine. Don't. But if you want to go at the $10 a month level, you'll get a T-shirt. $15 a month, you'll get a signed book and a T-shirt and our extra copy. And if you want to go $50 a month, we're going to give you a shout out for your business. Such as the Wayne Foundation, which is a nonprofit dedicated to help girls out of sexual trafficking. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Visit waynefdn.org to help out. And your donations are appreciated and help Jamie Walton, you know, with the good work she's doing.
Yeah.
Kelly Flores is with Rodan and Fields. She kind of works
girl.
For Lynette.
Not really, but.
Sort of. Her website is kflores, F-L-O-R-E-S. .myrnf.com or find her on Facebook at Kelly Nelson Flores. Ashley Duchesne is a family photographer. She's based out of San Diego. She hosts PhotoSpark, which is an iTunes podcast. Her website is ashleyduchesne.com, and she's on Facebook.
And Instagram.
Yeah. Kate Marengo is an interior designer. She works for Interior Chicago. You can find her at interiorchicago.com/interior-design. Sarah Dean has a podcast called Shameless Mom. You're out of your mind if you don't go check out her website for more information at shamelessmom.com. Tish Clevenger.
Juice Plus.
You want fruits and veggies and grains in your diet? Go to clevenger.juiceplus.com or Tish Clevenger at sbcglobal.net. Callie Weber's with Stella and Dot. I'm almost done, you guys.
That's
go to
fine.
Stella Dot and put in.
You sound like you're going to fall apart.
I know. Or find her on Facebook at Treat Yourself. I love Callie Weber's stuff, by the way. C-A-L-L-I-E. She also does Perfectly Posh. They have so much cute stuff. Just go find this bitch.
Yeah.
Michelle McKibben is a California loan officer. Do you want a loan or not? If you do, go to call 707-208-8302.
Okay.
And Heather Nesbitt, you want some cool, comfortable leggings?
Soft.
I bet that are like butter.
She sent them to us. Yeah, we have them.
Well, LuLaRoe is where you want to get it. And Heather Nesbitt is your for crying out loud girl who can get them for you. So go find her on Facebook, Heather N. LuLaRoe.
Yeah.
Bam.
Ba-bam.
And then before we totally wrap up, we just want to tell you about ADT.
Yeah, we can talk. Okay, let's talk about ADT.
ADT.
We got to talk about – yeah, go ahead.
Is how you keep your home safe. Then we'll do all our plugs. Mm-hmm. Do you want somebody robbing your house?
No.
Have you heard an episode of Sword and Scale?
No.
If you have, then I can't imagine that you would –
You don't want to know who you are, basically.
No.
That would
Listen,
be bad.
You don't want somebody robbing your house, so get ADT. It's more than just a sign. It's 24/7 monitoring and peace of mind, okay? At ADT, they believe everyone deserves to feel safe. So visit ADT.com. No wonder 5 times more people choose ADT to protect their homes. For license information and terms and conditions, visit ADT.com.
Mike, how about that episode where the guy shot? Where his girlfriend shot him, and he was so annoyed by her. And he was like on the 911 call. He was just like, "Yeah, she shot me." He's like, "Put the gun down. Put the gun down." Yeah, all right, the door's unlocked. When are you guys getting here? I said, "Put the gun down."
It's like an every Tuesday night kind of thing.
I know. I was like, "Give me a sandwich." Yeah. It was so funny.
What happened with that one?
She killed herself.
Oh, she killed herself.
Yeah, he was on the phone with her, and then. He was just talking like he was like so so annoyed.
And then they're like, "Where is she now?" And he's like, I don't know. I think she went in the backyard.
Yeah.
She's probably going to like.
I hope she doesn't shoot herself. He's like, God. And then he's talking and she's keeping him on the phone. And now he's like, now I'm getting kind of concerned. I haven't heard from her. It's unlike her not to come back in yelling. She should have been back in by now. And he's like, I'm kind of concerned. When are you guys going to get here? Ended up, she killed herself.
She killed herself. Yeah.
That guy was hilarious, though.
Can't wait for us to get to that one.
Yes.
See, we have so much to say about all these episodes.
That's right.
We're gonna. Here's what Sword and Scale Rewind is gonna do.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's talk.
We're gonna take the episode. Mm-hmm. We're gonna analyze it. We're gonna first. We're gonna recap it.
Yes.
That's how it's gonna start. We're gonna give you a quick recap.
Yeah.
So your homework is gonna be to listen to the episode. Then Lynette and I will give you a quick recap.
Mm-hmm.
Give you our thoughts and feelings
mm-hmm.
about the episode. Then. We're going to try to dig up updates. We're going to try to find
–
we're going to have Twitter conversations with people who are involved in the episode. Or like for some of the first ones, I'm going to have emailed some of these people to get answer to my question.
Yeah. Because a lot of it is where are they now kind of thing. Like I want to know how that little girl on the 911 call when her father got ran over, where is she? You know, like how's she doing kind of thing.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm very excited. We're starting off with Bruce Blackman, episode one. Where the hell is he? Because he's walking the streets.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble locating him, by the way.
He could be right here. He could be right next door.
Could be Kalen.
Could be Kalen.
A.K.A. Kalen. Bruce Blackman.
He's too lazy. He's a stoner.
All right. So check out Sword and Scale.
Yeah. When is it going to start?
.com.
We're launching in June.
Okay.
We're going to record the first 4 episodes tomorrow, as both of you know.
Yeah.
I'll be here. So it'll be fun.
You'll be in the better studio.
If you want to find Mike Boudet, he's at Twitter at mboudet, B-O-U-D-E-T. Be nice.
Yeah.
Also, go find him on Twitter if you just want to be an asshole. There's no reason for that.
He's going to be on the Adam Carolla show tomorrow
yeah.
which is going to air Wednesday. So people are listening to our show today. So listen tomorrow on the Adam Carolla show for Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. This was super fun.
Hopefully you get
and also
some words
subscribe.
In.
Go to Facebook and subscribe to Sword and Scale Rewind and SS Rewind on Twitter.
Yes,
oh yeah,
subscribe.
100%.
And go leave us a nice rating because that helps too.
Yes.
All right.
All right. You're a parent now.
Don't F it up.
to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. Can't sleep cause my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire.